Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
It's the middle to distant future. The galaxy is peopled by humans, their sentient faster-than-light spaceships roaming the space between the stars, each with its own individual personality. Long gone are the days when AI data scraped the dregs of the web for its training information. Now each ship is trained on the human life of a single person, observing them from cradle to grave and then carrying the imprint of their personhood out to the vastness of space. It's a technological version of life after death in a way, except now, when Disney Plus has discovered, buried in their old terms and conditions, the simple fact that if you ever signed up for their service, both you and all your descendants' digital imprints are indentured to them for life. You and a small ragged crew of rebel ships are attempting to gather a resistance as Disney copyright strikes your very personalities. What can you use to fight such a multi-planetary empire? Only your wits, your ships, the love of your human crews, and the Gargle. This is the Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Woosayer, Alison Spittle,
pew, 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 pew,
and Naysayer, Tom Neenan.
Nay, 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 nay. Nay.
Hello.
How are you both?
Good, good. You helped me a lot. I had quite a dirty web camera lens, which that feels more disgusting than anything else, is to have a dirty webcam lens. But we've got through it together. I think I'm in focus. You're also the first people I've ever spoken to today. So my voice is like, I can hear it, you know? I'm like, hello! So yeah, it's very nice to be sharing the morning with you.
A privilege and a delight.
Mm. Thank you.
Before we put our hands on each other's shoulders and get into the massage chain that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is Ryan Gosling as Ken getting nominated for the Oscar for the Barbie movie, about a movie about feminism, in which both the female director and the female star have posed provocatively in support roles. Is anyone outraged about this? I'm not. I haven't seen the movie, but apparently a lot of people are.
I'm not outraged. I'm not surprised. I did think leaving the cinema that the Ken role was the funniest role. And it is a comedy, so like the funniest person has got nominated. And the other person is America Ferrera, who was in Barbie, but she wasn't Barbie. She was the emotional heart of Barbie. And Barbie is the plastic surrounding. So like the heart and the funniness has got nominated, but not the actual thing that got people into the cinemas to watch it. So I don't think I mind that much. Also, Poor Things, that's my Barbie, an amazing film. An amazing film. Mark Ruffalo is in Poor Things, and he's a better Ken. He's just a funny fop. He's very good, very enjoyable. He's the thinking man's Ken.
I've seen neither of them. He's the thinking man's Ken.
Sorry, Alice, I didn't actually hear the question. I've just found out that me and producer Ped have been nominated for some audio awards for this podcast we're recording right now. So I'd like to thank everyone who voted. That's really, really kind of you.
I've never won any awards.
It must be great to be Ryan Gosling. You get nominated for awards, but you also can be seen as the cool guy by going, oh, I'm really sad that my colleagues didn't get nominated either. You know? It's just, he wins both ways.
I would also, this is a pet peeve of mine, but because also I think that, this, and I'm not going to delve too much into, different aspects of feminism, but I think there's a habit of people to downplay achievements. And I would point out that as a producer, Margot Robbie is nominated for her role as a producer of Barbie, and that Greta Gerwig is nominated for writing Barbie. So they are both nominated for Oscars for the Barbie movie, and that we should celebrate that. But yes, not in the main two categories.
And what is an Oscar but a Ken?
Exactly.
It's Buffett hasn't got a dick. I don't know. I don't know what more you need to make a Ken. The satirical cartoon this week is an advertising pitch meeting where they're trying to jazz up the image of the old-fashioned bathtub. One executive says, let's call it an immersive bathing experience. Just because I saw someone advertising an immersive bathing experience and it made me really enraged.
Wow.
It's like a fog machine that you put on. Like, you basically, it's like a fog machine that makes your bath feel spooky. I don't know.
That's what I want when I need to wash, is a sense of panic.
Yeah, you know? A haunted bathtub.
In and out of the haunted bathtub. No relaxation. Do the crevices. Get out. You're gone.
Our top story this week is a man who came back to life after the ambulance he was riding in hit a pothole. Tom Neenan, you've done unholy experiments on the living and the dead. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, certainly. So this is a gentleman who, I'm going to try and pronounce his name right. Is it Darshan Singh Brar? He was pronounced dead and was then being transported back home, where the ambulance hit a pothole, and the subsequent juddering meant that he was revived. It's the kind of cartoon logic that means that, if you hit your head and you have memory loss and then you hit it again, then all your memories will return. And then subsequently, if you hit your head again, all your memories disappear again. Or like that joke about the fly that has a heart attack millimeters from the fly zapper, and then as it hits the fly zapper, its heart restarts, and actually the fly zapper does the opposite job that it needs to. It's wonderful. It's a pothole that has saved someone's life. And actually, I'd like to share a personal story, which is that my grandfather died in 1980 when he was run over by a Citroën Zara Picasso. But he came home 3 years later when he remembered that a Citroën Zara Picasso hadn't been invented in 1980. And that's the first example of someone being saved by a plot hole. So,
hey!
Come on.
I thought you were going to say he got hit by a Citroën Zara Picasso and came back with all of his eyes on one side of his head.
That would be better.
Like a soul fish.
Yeah, yeah. but I want to know basically what the period that this is still effective. I want to know if there are, if there are hearses being driven over that pothole, and people having to like be reimbursed for their funerals because there's knocking on the inside of the coffin. I think that they should see how magic this pothole is, because it could be this one pothole. I don't know, could be like Lazarus and could be the key to immortality, in which case we should fill it in, but the council won't.
But it's like in Ireland we have these things like holy wells and stuff that's supposed to heal people. It would be amazing if it was a pothole that did this. And it feels like it feels like God is just slapping out the batteries out of the back of the remote control, giving it a rub, and popping it back in and hoping for the best. You'd feel incredible.
I mean, in this scenario, he's an octogenarian who's was on a ventilator for 4 days and then was pronounced dead and was presumably not being revived for some period of time. So he's still in what we would call a serious condition. So it's sort of like where you've taken the back off the remote and then you've pulled the batteries out and you've blown them and you've got another. Half a day to get to the shops, you know?
It's a Band-Aid, isn't it? It's a Band-Aid rather than... He's not running any marathons anytime soon.
I don't know, though. He is a man, so he is much more older. Isn't that what society says?
You know? Hang on, a man has died? No. We must sort this out immediately.
He could still marry.
Yeah.
He could still
win an Oscar. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. People are always complaining about mad scientists. Why only scientists? Why not mad bakers, mad accountants, mad dog groomers? It's prejudice, as simple as that. Mental health awareness is important in every industry, not just science. So no matter what your job is, if you're mad, seek a support system of loving friends, get medicated if you need to, make sure you're getting enough sleep, and if you're overwhelmed by the desire to create a human monster from corpse parts using your industry skills, whether it's welding or project management, first try taking a few deep breaths and drinking half a glass of water.
Yay, that's the most wholesome half a glass of water ever. Lovely.
You want to sound authoritative, but science is such a drag with all its methodology and rigor. If only there was something like science, but without the boring bits. Now there is pseudoscience. Don't let the truth get in the way of your truth. And... do you remember when kids used to be kids? No video games, no TikToks, just the great outdoors and creating nuclear reactions using real uranium with the Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab. The Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab for kids. Real uranium, real 50s nostalgia. Remember when men were men and women were women and children were self-made gelatinous mutant freaks self-replicating in your basement? The Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab. Get yours today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now it's time for AI girlfriend bots news now. And unfortunately, unlike in the olden days when you say, my girlfriend has a great bot, it does not mean that she's endowed in the trunk junk department. Apparently, AI girlfriend bots are already flooding OpenAI's GPT store. Alison Spittle,
yes.
Nobody could make a better girlfriend than you if they tried it in a lab. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, my Lord, thank you. I genuinely took that as a compliment. I felt like I was 13 again, seeking validation. I was like, oh, my God. AI chatbots are breaking OpenAI's usage policy rules, right? And how they're doing this, what I love is like one of the first questions you get asked is, what does your dream girlfriend look like, right? Which as a person seeking a girlfriend, you're like, oh, that's a cool question. Next question. What's your deepest, darkest secret?
No. First of all, not at all. It is not a cool question.
Because, I know.
Because if you think about the kind of girlfriends you have in dreams, they have way more arms than they should.
Yeah. I want 6 arms, 2 vages. You know?
And the face of your year 3 gym teacher.
Yeah.
Who in my case was a man that we called Mr. Muscles, but turned out in the end to be Eddie Jones, the coach of the Australian and then UK rugby teams.
Whoa!
That's just true.
Nice.
Holy
he used to be my
PE
teacher.
That's amazing. And what I love about the second question of, like, tell us your deepest, darkest secret. Am I on a date or am I getting a personality test from Scientology? Like, what is this? You know? But yeah, it's a scary kind of glimpse into the way that we are kind of algorithmically toying with people's emotions. There's ethics anyway. I don't know why you have to create a dream girl, because, you know, dream girls are not real girls, and they'll just make you frustrated with real people. You know, AI doesn't have childhood trauma. AI, it should. I would love that. I would love if the AI stopped talking for 10 minutes and they're like, are you okay, AI? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to get angry with you for about 10 minutes and then apologise. Like, that is a real relationship.
Do we know if this works like all other AI and basically they're ripping off the copyright of all other previous girlfriends that exist online? So like, if you're a girlfriend who's existed and ever existed online, your data is being mined like anything. Every time that, yeah, you have, you've looked at another guy in a restaurant or something like that, it's all in there. And you are owed you have a copyright claim on any girlfriend that is created by your AI.
Or, like, you know the way a lot of AI stuff is gone very problematic? Do you think your AI girlfriend would be a white supremacist?
Well, I mean, most AI at the moment is being scraped, all the data is from, like, public sources. So you have to think that these AI girlfriends are being trained either on, like, performative online influencer relationships or Reddit forum questions about whether you're the arsehole or not.
Oh, no. So they're either referring to you as this one or, you know, and constantly holding up a ring finger.
Yeah. Oh, my God, permanently in front of a sunset. That is just, you can never exist outside of that, those 3 minutes where the sun is setting. Oh, God.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that is horrific, Alice. That is genuinely horrific. That is the public. How do people publicly perform relationships? I'm trying to think of...
It's either like 70s level, my wife tweets about how horrendous women are and how much you don't like them. Or it's Andrew Tate trying to train young men into becoming horrendous criminals.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Andrew Tate, because Andrew Tate has that mid-Atlantic sort of marble mouth thing going on, he does sound like a slightly scrambled fake sort of accent, doesn't he? Because he sort of has that way of speaking, like sort of in the middle of the United States. It's very weird, and he does sound very robotic. So I guess it all, maybe he could have an AI girlfriend and actually be happy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just a
sentient fleshlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... Two googly
Sorry,
eyes.
That marble mouth thing that Andrew Tate does is just him gargling the balls of the man he wishes he could be.
That would be a great book title for Andrew Tate. Gargling the balls of the man I wish to be.
Well, he might be going back to jail, so we never know what.
That's why I'm speaking so freely. I'm that guy. I'm not going to Luton. Yeah. I'll be fine. Well, actually, I am. I'm gigging there on my tour. Come see me.
I mean, jail is the perfect place for a guy that believes in a framework of alpha and beta masculinity, because that theory was built on wolves in captivity and actually doesn't reflect the way that wolves treat each other in the wild or the way that people treat each other in the wild. It's actually basically only suited if you're in jail. He's just optimized himself for the best possible outcome.
Well, isn't it the thing that if you go to jail, you're meant to punch the sort of the most alpha guy in there first day, which if you're Andrew Tate and you think you are the most alpha guy in there, does that mean the first thing you do is walk into the yard and punch yourself in the face until you're unconscious?
To be fair, that would be a good self-protection mechanism. It's like, so crazy. I am not going to touch whatever's going on here with a stick.
Fair enough.
Now it's time for your reviews. Each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Tom Neenan, what have you brought in for us this week?
So we were discussing the Oscars yesterday when we were recording this. They announced the Oscar nominations, and I think it's a very... I've seen most of the films, and I think it's a really good crop of films. Mm. And it's, you know, it's actually been an incredible year when people keep on talking about the death of, you know, sort of certain media and things, and people aren't going to the cinema. There's some amazing films here. However, I wanted to review each film like I'm a sort of angry 14-year-old Letterboxd reviewer. So basically just one line that completely dismisses everyone's artistic endeavours. So let's go through them. The Holdovers, I don't know what a holdover it has over the critics, I hated it. American Fiction, that sucks, and that's a British fact. Zone of Interest, didn't keep my interest. Barbie, that film was Ken rubbish. Oppenheimer, Stoppenheimer. Poor Things, poor movie.
Oh!
Past Lives, past the sick bag. Anatomy of a Fall, anatomy of me falling out of love with this movie. Maestro, my strop, stop again. Killers of the Flower Moon, more like Killers of My Vibe. One star, thank you. By the way, I love all those films. They're all. It's a really good crop of films.
That is delightful. Mm. Alison Spittle, what have you brought in for us this week?
I've brought in the experience of a new Chinese takeaway I went to in South London called Winner. An amazing place, cash only, be prepared. But be prepared for an amazing taste experience. What I love about Winner is that I don't know what's happened in the past, but everything is blocked up. Apart from a filing cabinet drawer that goes forward that serves you your dinner. It's amazing. It's like being in a steampunk kind of... It feels like buying a Chinese takeaway in a dystopian future where there's a lot of violence or whatever. And it was an amazing, amazing... It was one of the best meals I've ever had. It reminded me of... I used to work in a Chinese takeaway when I was about 15, and it just kind of... I think... There's no better place. If you go to a takeaway and there's a child doing their homework behind the desk, it's a good spot for food. They are not messing about. You're going to have the best meal of your life. So 5 stars for Winner in South London.
I've just Googled Winner.
Yeah.
And it looks incredible. It looks like a betting shop.
That's what I want.
Fair
That's
enough.
What I want for my takeaway. It's a cash economy. And
Alison Spittle, it is entirely possible that they randomly assign a good meal and you just got the jackpot. If it is in fact a betting shop, maybe you're just playing the pokies here.
Well, do you know what, Alice? Because I tried something I've never had before, which was roast chicken Chinese style. Like, because why would you buy it? Like, I did it. And it was like, oh, not only was I eating chicken, but it was chicken-y. Everything was so... It was so chicken-filled. I was just like, this is incredible. Genuinely 5 stars. It was a beautiful thing. Free prawn crackers, even though... This is the other thing. So if you spend £30, you get a free bag of prawn crackers, right? I spent £28.30. I was under the limit. I didn't expect free prawn crackers. I opened a drawer, free prawn crackers. That woman is a legend. Do you know what I mean? The thankfulness that I have that she gave me free prawn crackers, even though I didn't hit the monetary limit, it's just, she'll have my fealty forever. I will die for Winner. I probably will.
Alison, are you saying that you had a winner winner chicken dinner?
Oh, buddy. Yes, I did. And I'd do it again, damn it.
Our next top story is TikTok Tarot. If you can imagine someone pointing to the top right-hand corner of the screen and saying, the Hanged Man, and then the top left corner of the screen and then saying, the Tower, and then the bottom left corner of the screen and saying, I don't know any of the other tarot cards. Then you have a sense of the flavour of this next top story, which is the absolute explosion of online...
Tarot reading. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Alison Spittle, you can see the future. Can you unpack this story for us?
I do come from a big family of psychics. We also have diabetes and severe mental health issues as well. I don't know if they're connected. But this is an article. It's a really, really well-written article about the explosion of tarot reading on social media. And they say that, like, the generation below us isn't that much more into psychics. They're just TikTok. Look, it's like, I don't think the generation below us are that much more into putting stuff into tortilla wraps than we are as a nation. But TikTok has created an algorithm where it really scratches that itch. You know? These are people that have taken solace from tarot, and I've never really taken solace from tarot just because it was shoved a lot into my face when I was a young teenager. Like, my aunts, anytime that they were having a problem in their marriage, they would take out the tarot and read my future. And if I'm being honest with you, a lot of deflection on their part. It was like I was 14. I don't need to kick anyone out. I don't know what you're on about. It's a great, interesting article. But like, the thing is, with me and my TikTok algorithms, what TikTok offers me is fights in chip shops or fights in pubs. Now, I don't know what I've done to encourage this. Probably watched it to its bitter end, because I'm always like, how is this going to end? And there's always someone getting their head kicked in. I'm like, well, I'm glad I followed that through. So, I don't go on TikTok that much because the algorithms of what I seem to like scare me. I don't like myself as a person with what TikTok offers me. What does TikTok offer you, Tom, like, when you go on it?
Great question. I was thinking the same. It offers me film quizzes, some Ooh. Fights.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, fights. And there's like, and stories, creepy stories about like people who disappear. There, and you know, because TikTok has those different voices. So there's the guy who does that. There's like the AI voice, which is like a creepy guy going, "This is a story of two people who went into the woods and never came back."
Yes.
So those kind of things I see a lot of. And yeah, and what used to be called like effing around and finding out, which seems to be people who work in industries that have, in countries with lap safety, who sort of fall into a big grinder and die. And that is, I don't like that stuff. It just kind of like, you know, it's the bread and circuses. It's the Rome thing of just going, oh, I can't stop watching. And that's why we're all doomed as a species, I guess. But it is fun.
It is fun. I watched one TikTok video where a woman was outside a priest's house. Mm. She knocked on his door and made him get a Bible. And she swore on it that she didn't f*** anyone else in her relationship. And she was calling out her husband. And the priest is just nodding in the back. like a hype man in a music video. Just be like, yeah, she hasn't cheated on you.
For me, generic advice given out by psychics in, for example, astrology columns in newspapers, and also algorithmic predictions of what I'll like, hit the same contrarian button in me, which is that if I feel that they have any accuracy in predicting what I will like or what my life will be like, I feel like I need to change shit up real quick because it means that I'm f***ing generic. Yes. Generic advice is suitable to my life situation. I need to mix things up a bit, man, because I don't want to be whatever you think I'm about to be.
You want a pumpkin spice latte in spring, like that type of thing.
yeah. Keep them on their toes. Get the stars confused.
But like, do you know, Alice, the gender of your upcoming child?
Yes, I know the sex is to be a boy.
Right, okay.
At least until it can tell me better.
Fair enough. I was, because basically what is an ultrasound? But, you know, tarot, but like with a science sheen is all I'm saying. All it's doing is predicting something that we can't possibly know. There's no way of knowing it, and it makes you feel like you could know it. Also with sort of, you know, science and stuff. But still, you've basically had a tarot reading for your child, I guess, in a way.
Do you know what's amazing, Tom, is this year's Traitors, there's a lady who's an ultrasound operative and a psychic. Like, she was like, I just want to know, either through science or vibes. I don't want any secrets. She got, spoiler, she got knocked out of Traitors and she didn't find a traitor.
Didn't see that coming.
No, she didn't have her ultrasound machine. No.
That's brutal. I've never done tarot, but tarot isn't... How many different cards are there in tarot? And how specific do they get?
I think there's 9, but I'm probably wrong.
9 tarot cards? That you pull out, yeah. But right. There'd be more in the deck, but...
Yeah. Like, is there one which is like, if someone turned it over and it was like me falling off a bridge into water and then being dragged out by wolves and having my legs bitten off? Like, could that be a card? And then they're like, so just don't cross a bridge soon? And that kind of thing. Or is it more abstract?
Death. They have one that's literally called death.
Okay.
And they're like, oh no, that's good. That's good, actually. And you're like, well, it doesn't look good, man.
Death then.
Yeah, it's just going to be a change. You're just going to get a change represented by death. Like, change up the card, man.
If this is your relatives, Alison, it's them saying, you know, that death means you should never let a man tell you that you're not the woman he married. And you're like, I'm not the woman.
Exactly. I'm 14. You all think I'm gay. I don't know what you're talking about.
And in workers' rights news now, this is the story that the creator economy of freelance artists narcissistically pursuing their own goals, presumably at least partially funded by their parents, is ready for a workers' movement, according to some sources. Tom Neenan, you've got a fistful of hammer and sickle. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes. It seems that a lot of people are slowly waking up to the fact that basically, if you're a content creator and you get billions and billions of views, it's sort of quite clear what happens, and they're all very transparent about it. Basically, all of your views go into, say, for instance, Instagram or TikTok, and then something happens in a big machine, and then they spit out 45p, and they go, thank you, we've made loads of revenue off this, and here is your 45p. And people have started going, hey, hang on a second, hang on, we're the ones making your platform popular and successful with our tarot readings and our videos of people getting chewed up in an industrial grinder or something. So where's our money? Basically, they can only get sort of more money and more content via deals, which is awful. You know, the fastest way to the bottom, almost as fast as a Maserati, which can go from 0 to 60 in 0.2 seconds. And really worth your time. Take it for a test drive now. And there is special deals if you put Neenan13 at the end. So contact your local dealer now. But basically, yeah, but they're realizing that we're doing all this work. It's the same thing that happened in the music industry, and we're not getting any money for it. So now they're going to unionize. And I think that is going to be, because that union is going to include Logan Paul. It's going to include Mr. Beast. It's going to be one of the most chaotic, awful unions ever. And if they go on strike, would anyone notice? Would anyone notice that there isn't suddenly a review of, or like someone hawking that Prime juice or whatever on their TikTok? Listen, it's a gig economy. We're all working hard to sort of, you know, pay the bills. But I am slightly baffled by how they're going to organise, because in my experience, these creators are the least organised people ever.
Mm. But by definition, this is like trying to get a comedians union together. This is a union that is built of A, contrarians, B, scabs, and C, scum of the earth willing to stab each other in the back to do a gig for like half as much money as the next man. It's not going to work. There's no alliance. There's no affiliation. We're not friends.
No.
And it's like we're of a generation as well of making content, as in like, I remember when I first started doing comedy, going on Facebook was the place that you kind of gathered a group of people that you could maybe tour to. And then Facebook changed its algorithms and it became non-existent. Then Twitter has been taken over by Musky Boy. And the only interactions I have on Twitter is like with porn bots. They're the only, you know, that is my audience now. Is juicy ass 69 or whatever, and like, you know, TikTok I haven't got the algorithm sorted, and Instagram, and I put up a reel the other day and I got like 400 likes, and I'm delighted with that. I've had a friend who is now doing a national tour just off the back of a few Instagram videos popping off. So it's just like, it seems like because we create content in the live experience, or we create content doing podcasts and stuff. What the only thing that we're looking to for social media is to like have a place to gather an audience. And why am I being serious on a comedy show? I could have just went, Musk's a dick. But it is very interesting, because I just think nothing is permanent. It's made me more Buddhist. Like, you know, I have friends that had thousands of fans on Twitter, and their whole careers were on Twitter. Like, that's where they gathered their people. And that's gone. And it's like the only thing that we have really, lads, is podcasts and the live experience. And I'm fine with that because I love both. And also, I don't have the discipline to do small jokes. You know what I mean? Like...
Well, no, it's completely right, because what the content thing sort of makes you do is you get one success, you get one thing that goes well, and then that people say, do that forever. And as comedians and as other people, you want to sort of, dare I say it, guys, artists. And as artists, you not want to evolve rather than going, you did a video where you did a funny Scottish accent and counted to nine. And they're like, well, now that is, you're the Scottish accent counting to nine guy now. That is what you do. And so you sort of have to find various slightly different ways of counting to nine in a Scottish accent in order to keep the algorithm sort of supporting you. That's no way to live, guys. No one wants to watch that every single time. Free yourselves.
Or you just put up every interaction you've ever had with an audience. Like, you know, comedian mishears audience member. what did you say? Okay.
I mean, with all these AI generated comedy specials that are in the works at the moment, I think the AI is going to get a really weird impression of what comedy is and think that comedy is just asking what people's jobs are.
It's a census.
Which, to be fair, the girlfriend bot does that too. So.
And you know what? Some MCs are like, please tell me your deepest, darkest secret. I want to get at least 1,000 likes on my next reel.
I'm taking a bit of a step back from live in order to do this having two kids thing for a while. So I'm going to have to figure out how all the online algorithms work if I want to sustain any kind of level of career. And at the moment, what I'm vibing is that what I need to do is clips of me destroying a heckler by reading their tarot.
Yes.
Until they have a nervous breakdown and then we get into a physical fight. That feels like the game, right?
That's guaranteed.
I would pay an OnlyFans account to see you do tarot. Like, see you explain it to people. I would set up an OnlyFans account just for tarot, and I will be your subscriber.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Alison Spittle, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, my tour Soup starts this Saturday in the Lowry in Salford. I'm going to so many different places. Liverpool, Pocklington, Leek. It finishes in May. Go to my Instagram, because that's the place where I keep everything. I'm keeping all the eggs in that basket at the moment. Until I find another social media outlet that will have me. But go to alisonspittle.com. There's all the information on the tour. And that's it, really. I'm doing nothing else. I should get my podcast sorted out. But other than that, it's all good.
I recommend Soup. I've seen it. I've seen the show twice. It is so good. I recommend it highly. Tom, have you got anything to plug?
Follow me at tpneenan on Instagram. I don't really post on X or on Instagram much, but if those are the places I'll be putting up things if I am sort of up to stuff. And The Hauntening is still available, Penguin Books audiobooks, if you want to download that. Also, I don't, because there might be some crossover, I do a Doctor Who podcast called A Wheezing Groaning Sound, which if you like classic Doctor Who or filth, then you can listen to that as well. I forget to promote that one, but it's a lot of fun to record.
Excellent. And if you want to support The Bugle, you can go to thebuglepodcast.com and become a voluntary subscriber. It helps to fund the entire family of Bugle shows, which includes The Gargle here. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. That is a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, my weekly writers' meetings, which will run through my maternity leaves. Two writers' meetings a week. I've got guest hosts for those writers' meetings, so they will continue unabated if you want to work on whatever you're working on. The salons will be off for 6 weeks, but go to patreon.com/AliceFraser where you can get my two most recent specials there for free. or go to gofasterstripe.com and look up Twist to get my most recent special there for £10, along with the one that I did before that. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Your editor is Ped Hunter. I will talk to you again next week from your perspective.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.